local. Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Sal's and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., taking a little break from the Kings as we talk some Niners and the Pro Bowl. Our guy, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso, has an article about the three biggest snubs for the Niners, which I guess we have to talk about snubs, which is hard when a team has nine Pro Bowlers.
Nine.
Count them, nine. So here they are. Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrave, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, riding dirty with Purdy, Charvarius Ward, Fred Warner, Trent Williams. There you go. But it's not enough.
No, it's never
not enough. Never
I'm stoked for Brock. First one since 03, I think.
02.
Jeff Garcia.
Yeah, 02. So Jeff Garcia.
That's great. I think people may think like, oh, Kaepernick might have snuck one in there. No, he was not doing that.
No, he didn't. And you have from the article with Emil Fragoso, our Sacktown Sports 49ers insider. He says Mitch Wishnowsky, punter, was snubbed.
Okay.
Dre Greenlaw, linebacker, snubbed. And you have Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, that was snubbed. So Brandon Ayuk, to me, the most interesting one. So we pulled some numbers. Brandon Ayuk. What's up, Nate?
I'm sorry. I didn't have my show this week.
Yeah, Nate always. No, no, go ahead.
So I just want to say a couple things.
Whenever
Return
we talk
Empire.
Niners, hold on.
Sorry.
Whenever we talk Niners, Nate gets to turn on his microphone because he has a very hot Niners podcast here on the station, Return of the Empire, where he is with Emil Fragoso as well. So be sure to check that out. But Nate has, you know, I've had a green light when you steal bases. I did before my Achilles. That's Nate. When we talk Niners, he's got a green light to hop in and be a part of the conversation. So what do you have to say?
Well, I'm also trying to save Chris too. So it's a two for one thing. But the Mitch Wishnowsky, I think he was number one in fan voting for punter, which is like, all right, whatever. That's fine. I don't care. That's whatever. Ayuk thing, okay. You guys were bringing us some stats before the show. It's like toss up. All right, you know, right. Puka or whatever. So I think Dre Greenlaw not getting in is pretty crazy. I think he deserves it. I think he's putting up the numbers that I know he's putting up very similar numbers to Fred. It's you know, it's Willis and Bowman again with those two. So he's got to get in next year. I feel like he got snubbed the absolute hardest out of any of those three. If I had to pick one,
because I heard the most talk about Ayuk, and obviously everybody loves offense
receiver.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
And receiver. This is his best year and second year going over 1,000. So that's fine. A bunch of deep catches and did it pretty consistently all year.
Yeah.
To Nate's point, too, of having Greenlaw as his biggest snub, I'm looking here at Emil's article as well. The other inside linebacker that was chosen, obviously Fred Warner was one of them. The other one, anybody, any guesses?
That was snubbed?
No, that was taken. The one that was taken right. You could argue, in place of Dre Greenlaw. It's also middle linebacker, I guess, for the outside linebackers. It was Danielle Hunter, Micah Parsons, and Hassan Reddick took up the outside linebacker spots. The inside linebacker spots.
I couldn't tell you.
Fred Warner and Bobby Wagner.
Oh, old man. Wow. Why is this the NBA when they bring in a veteran first?
That's what
right.
Whoa, wow. That makes it way worse.
Right.
That makes it way worse. I mean, he's had a good season.
But there's no way.
14th year?
Yeah, there's no way.
Is it is it a little bit of grandfathered in? Is that what's going on here?
Ouch. Maybe the NFL's mad at Greenlaw.
Greenlaw missed a couple games
in the middle.
DeSandro?
I thought about that, Nate. Even though,
because he's always getting in trouble.
Right, but could you really be mad at Greenlaw when Big Dom isn't on the sidelines anymore? So technically,
well, Greenlaw does more than that. You see, they call him Draymond Greenlaw. Of course, you've called him that.
Yes,
I've seen the ugly Photoshop where they put Draymond's head on.
Really funny.
Yeah, and maybe because he's a little vicious sometimes. They don't need him playing flag football. Not that they're going to be playing flag football anyways, because I really think they'll be in Vegas.
Right, exactly. That's the other thing. And also,
so who cares?
It's also, at some point, That's how many freaking Niners, like, are they going to have all 22 out there? Like, I mean,
if they deserve it,
it's crazy.
We're not into participation trophies, Chris.
You know, sometimes you got to just, you know, you got to give other teams some acknowledgement.
Do you remember that in Little League when, or don't they do that in Major League Baseball too? Everybody needs a representative from a team.
Yeah, for the All-Stars.
Well, I hate that.
Oh, it's really whack.
I hate that. The A's don't have an All-Star.
Yeah. They do not have anyone.
That's got to go.
That's got to feel bad as the guy. Who got picked for the A's this year? Was it?
It was a pitcher, wasn't it?
It's got to be a pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Who was
Did so many A's games, but whatever. That is like got to feel bad as the A's representative. You got to be like, dude. They're just
Brent Rooker.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Brent Rooker.
Ew.
I mean, it doesn't
Poor
have
guy.
To be like this. You don't feel like you should be there. That's literally.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Why do they do it too, for fans?
Do we care about Pro Bowls? Like, I've never understood. I've never, like, been super deep into the football legacy conversation like I am with basketball. Like, do people bring up Pro Bowls?
Or is it more like all pros?
Like, there's got to be some
all
other.
All pros mean more, though.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, like, Hufanga making all pro last year was insane. Like, that probably. I don't want to diss on him at all, but that seemed like, hey, here's the hot young new guy, you know, that he's got that Polamalu look, trains with him. I think that factor, that X factor might play into the All-Pro thing of like how tantalizing you are. So,
well, I think the same with Pro Bowl, though. I think All-Pro is less of.
Really?
All-Pro,
all
you're like the
all
number
pro
one,
should
though.
Be. I feel like All-Pro should be the one that people actually
I was
going to
say
about.
is less of the popularity whole. Really based on you came in, you did your work.
Yeah, that's like AP voted thing.
Exactly. So shout out to all of the 9 Pro Bowlers. Here are some of the stats that we were going to get into with Brandon Ayuk. So Brandon Ayuk, to Nate's point about the deep yard receptions. So Brandon Ayuk is 30th in receptions.
Okay.
And 6th in yards.
Okay. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
6th in yards definitely gives him to me the 30th in receptions is, I don't know. To me, that's not like a Pro Bowl number.
No, but that just tells me that deep throws, because
Sure.
How are you 6 in yards and you're 30th in receptions. So the two arguments, the guys that made it in instead of him, you know, AJ Brown, Puka, a couple of the guys weren't really questioned. CeeDee Lamb obviously was an obvious choice, but the questionable ones, so Mike Evans had the most touchdowns out of any receiver but had less yards than Brandon Ayuk. So you have two there, and then you have Puka, who was lower on the touchdowns, but higher on the yards. So
Niners aren't getting two receivers. Like, they're just like, there's no way that the Niners' two receivers are better than everybody else's best receiver. Like, yeah, that's again, like, you got to let some other teams have some.
But they didn't get a receiver though.
Debo didn't get in.
No.
Oh, I thought Debo.
No,
made,
they got Christian McCaffrey. They got George Kittle. They didn't get a receiver.
About the Greenlaw thing, though, that point you just made, you can't get two receivers even though they didn't. I mean, the two linebackers is like, so Emil just popped in here. Bobby Wagner had 48 more tackles than Dre Greenlaw.
Okay.
Before I got all emotional, I should have checked my stats. I think that is fair and warranted. That's a lot. That's a significant amount. So,
sure.
I mean, that makes sense. And if they threw both the Niners linebackers in there, I don't know.
So nobody got snubbed from the Niners.
Well,
Wisnowski.
Besides Wisnowski.
Yeah.
And then we're going to look up punter sets.
Yeah,
and say,
let's do it. Let's
fan
do
voting
it.
Is so silly. Yeah. I will say, I think Brock was the highest fan voted player.
He was, yeah.
I thought everybody hated Brock.
I thought it was Tua, too, because Tua was getting an insane amount.
Brock will be so sick at flag football.
He's not going to be playing because they're going to be in Vegas, and we're going to be in Vegas, too. All
we're going to do it.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will revisit the preseason over-unders and what games actually mean something this weekend. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Good conversation about who was snubbed, who was not snubbed. Apparently, the word on the street is that Puka Nacua was the guy who a lot of people thought Ayuk should be in instead of Puka. But there were 21, if you include alternates, 21 Niners Pro Bowl picks and Pro Bowl alternate picks. So hard to complain about anything. It's just people being bored until the playoffs start. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody, oh, come on. You know, now.
How many people are even watching the Pro Bowl?
Nobody. Now, when it comes to incentives, if Brandon Ayuk has something in his contract about a Pro Bowl helping your incentives, then okay. But, you know, I would say that it's just something to talk about as we wait for the Niners, not necessarily for Niners-Rams, even though it will be fun to watch these guys do battle, whereas it will be Carson Wentz going up against Sam Darnold. What year?
My goodness.
What year is it?
Yeah.
But I, you know.
That sounds like an old Pro Bowl right there.
Now I'm going to ask the question again. Is Niners just pizza? Is that good pizza on Sunday? Is that pizza? All pizza's good pizza? Rams, Niners? That good pizza? You watching?
I'm not in the all pizza's good pizza boat.
I'm not either.
I have friends that are.
In terms of actual pizza, I am. But in terms of it related to football.
Football is pizza.
Actual pizza, I'm not.
Football is pizza because that does not look like good pizza. That is soggy pizza.
It's interesting. Like, I mean, just to see where those two guys are at this point in their career. But in terms of sorry, I can't hang out with my family because I really have to watch Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold.
Hey,
like,
now.
Might be one of those where, you know, could build some goodwill with the family, and, you know, as football playoffs are around the corner as well, maybe this is a good week to you know, do some errands.
Yeah, you might want to run some errands. You know who's really going
to
be
and listen
this?
On the radio as well. Of course, you can listen to the Niners game,
and that will be on KNCI HD2 because the Kings are taking on the Pelicans. You know who's going to be watching the Niners this weekend? Nick Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Steve Ruiz.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, just trying to see. Please, they're going to be begging.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Sam Darnold, ball out.
300 yards, 3 touchdowns,
please,
no picks.
Please ball out, Sam Darnold. All the Brock Purdy haters will be watching to see how Sam Darnold does. So just a little fun exercise we wanted to go through here to kind of figure out what games matter and what games don't as we go through the over-unders at the beginning of the year and how close some of these teams are. So you have the Cardinals were at 4.5. Their record right now, 4. Who do they play this weekend?
Oh, that was a question. I was like, I thought, you know, I was like, who do we play?
I was following it up.
They play the Seahawks this weekend.
Seahawks this weekend. So
Seahawks play for their life too.
And that would have been an interesting one to bet on before the season because it's kind of like I think you would have hoped, like, this would have been the best possible outcome for that bet is Kyler Murray play. Because there was reports that, you know, who knows, Kyler Murray might not play at all this year, especially if they, you know, weren't off to a good start.
I didn't think
it was
he was
like,
going
what was
going to
be the point? So that was a really risky bet. And then you see Kyler return at the middle of the season. You're like, oh, we're cashing this thing in easy. And then it felt like they weren't because they had the Eagles and then the Seahawks to close the season with only 3 wins. So you're feeling bad, and then they get the win over the Seahawks, and it's like, or they get the win over the Eagles, and it's like, I guess this bet's back in play.
So 4.5, they're 4-12. Are
crazy.
They getting it?
Yeah.
They're at home. Why not? They probably have more to play for than the Seahawks, right? Are the Seahawks
no,
still?
Seahawks,
the Seahawks
are
trying to. Yeah,
yeah.
Seahawks
but
trying to make
I think
it.
The Cardinals
know,
have been playing.
Really good.
They've been playing. What's it called when you mess someone up?
Spoiler.
Spoiler, yeah. They've been playing spoiler to, I mean, they kind of do it to the Eagles.
3-point favorites.
I
don't think that's very much.
Yeah, the Cardinals have talent on their roster. And
here it is.
Kyler Murray's been kind of a killer.
Here is the playoff scenario for the Seahawks. How the Seahawks clinch a playoff berth. Seattle win. Plus Green Bay loss or tie, or Seattle tie plus Green Bay loss plus Tampa Bay loss or tie, or Seattle tie plus Green Bay loss plus New Orleans loss or tie. So they have to, at best, they have to win and hope that Green Bay loses. So Yeah,
Green Bay's got the Bears this week too.
That Bears team is turned it around though.
7-9 Yeah, no, and Green Bay is so hit or miss. Like, they're either pretty good or very bad.
I wonder about the Bears though, because as far as Justin Fields, who's been connected to the Raiders a lot, because it feels like there's a bit of a cycle with Justin Fields. He either gets hurt or doesn't play well to start the season, and then when nobody cares about the Bears, he balls out. And that's what scares me. We have not seen Justin Fields really play well when it mattered. That would scare me. A lot of people were saying, bring Justin. Now, what I've read
is... Scare you in sense of bringing him back, or scare you in the sense of how good he can be?
Well, what I've seen is bring Justin Fields in. This is what I've seen as far as the Raiders are concerned. Draft somebody and bring Justin Fields in because of... That contract isn't that crazy. But yeah, I haven't really seen, and I was a big Justin Fields guy going into that draft. I have not seen Justin Fields do it when it actually mattered.
Bears are another one of those teams who's right on their over-under number as well. The preseason over-under for the Bears, 7.5. They're sitting at 7-9 right now after a great resurgence to their season. So the Bears, if you bet on the Bears preseason, you're rooting for them to beat the Packers.
What was Detroit's at?
Detroit was at 9.5, and they've already cleared. So
yeah, they've already cleared.
And Carolina nowhere close.
Carolina's nowhere close. Yeah, there are a couple teams who have already fell.
Falcons are done.
Carolina was at 7.5. They have 2 wins.
What was the Falcons? They're 6.5.
Falcons were at
8.5. A lot of people were big on the Falcons,
and they have 7 wins.
They have 7 wins, so they're not going to reach that one. You have, let's see here, who is close?
All was on Ritter.
Seahawks. Funny enough, so that Seahawks Cardinals game is going to be, someone's going to win their bet. Seahawks had 8.5 at the start of the year. They're 8-8, and then the Cardinals have 4 wins. Their preseason
Bills,
was 4.5.
Bills over under was 10.5. Oof. They're at 10-6.
Oh, and that's probably been the scariest bet all year, right? Like that one's been an emotional roller coaster of. Just, it didn't look like it was going to happen, and now you got to feel good about it. And oh my gosh, that's another lesson here.
And then the Bill and the
somebody
Bills,
take a lesson out of this. Eagles over under at the start of the year, 11.5, sitting at 11-5 right now. That one also, you must have felt like they were what, 10-0? Were they 10-0 at one point?
Yeah.
And still haven't
Bills
cleared that.
At Dolphins to end the season too.
Maybe on the other side of this break, I found a pretty awesome list by CBS of all the incentives, like major incentives for players. Mm-hmm. We can maybe go over in the next step.
Those are my favorite.
The first one is Baker Mayfield. He gets an extra $2 million if they make the playoffs this year. So there's a bunch like that.
Oh my god!
So keep an eye on
definitely.
Those lines.
All right, let's get to a break. When we get back, more NFL talk, playoff scenarios. And incentives. And then after that, back to Kings, getting you ready for the Kings taking on the Toronto Raptors. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. The 49ers and Rams game this Sunday will be airing on KNCI HD2, starting with the pregame at 12:25 and kickoff at 1:25. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, this is from the 530, going back to the Kings. No trades. Develop our existing players. Alex Len, Sasha, Colby Jones. Continue to strengthen our bench and team chemistry. This is from Mary Francis, devoted Kings fan who believes in having a strong bench.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary Francis.
Wow, what a signature.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary Francis. And look, Colby Jones, that's a name I haven't gotten down to Stockton yet.
Yeah.
But Brandon,
oh, we gotta go down.
Frankie,
there.
Yeah. You saw Colby play as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear he cooks down there. Yeah, and I was looking up some of his stats yesterday. Homie is 6'6".
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got some height to him for sure. Yeah. It's an intriguing piece that the Kings kind of stumbled upon there, and I think Colby's somebody who I could do kind of hope we see him enter the rotation again. We saw him weirdly enough, you wouldn't think you'd see mm-hmm. your second round rookie early in the season mm-hmm. and not in the middle, or I mean,
honestly,
still
it's been
to
a
see towards the end.
Turvy.
Totally. I mean, yeah, and it's, you know, I wouldn't say Colby's benching wasn't completely unjustified. Like he was, they were trying to play him at point guard when they were trying to figure out the Davion Keon thing, and he did lose the ball quite a bit when bringing the ball down the floor. So he just didn't really fit the role that the Kings needed at that moment in time. But I think that's a dude who, you know, if maybe they do move Malik Monk to the starting lineup at some point, I could see him kind of stepping into the bench and being that backup guard. Definitely can't fill the shoes of Malik, but mm-hmm. someone who's you know, athletic, really mobile, can finish at the rim, good athlete. And, you know, if you look at his Stockton numbers, incredibly pesky, always has his hands in the passing lanes. I mean, he's got a couple Stockton games where he's got like upwards of 6 steals in those games. So he's someone who's really active defensively. And, you know, that's a nice starter point to have for a guy who's, again, second round pick as a rookie right now. I think there's something there that you can maybe find.
Don't let me forget to ask this between, and maybe not, I know you know the answer, but to ask the insiders as well, the Sactown Sports Kings insiders, the difference really between, because I'm looking at two guards, right, that are trying to be formed into more pure point guards, Colby Jones versus Keon yeah. Ellis. They seem on paper to be fairly similar. Feels like Colby Jones or Keon is more of a shooter
yeah.
than Colby, but Colby yeah. can create more
yeah.
than Keon. So could you see them going back and forth? Is Keon better on ball defending yeah. as well, even yeah. though – even though Colby can get steals.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to be an interesting thing because you correctly do point out that they kind of occupy the same space a mm-hmm. bit. The funny thing is, though, I mean, I was watching them warm up really early. If you get there, you know, right when doors open, sometimes you might catch the G League guys warming up or the two-way guys as well. And you see Colby and Slauson with Keon and Jordan Ford as well. I would just say right now, in terms of their development, I mean, Keon's been in this system for 3 years right now. He looks like he's a little bit more NBA ready. But again, I think Colby's got more, like where Colby's start point, I think, is further than what Keon's start point was. So if you were to say right here, right now, this season, who can probably impact winning more, I guess Keon, I would say Keon. But I think, you know, maybe by the end of this year, or who knows, I mean, just give him one offseason. I definitely think there's something there with Colby Jones because his finishing is, I'm not going to say it's elite. That's probably too high, but he's mm-hmm. definitely in the upper tier of finishing ability for a guard that I've seen. And again, that's just him coming into the league with just his natural strength. Like as he spends an offseason focusing more on his body and, you know, he's no longer the youngest guy in the league anymore. Right. There's a new crop of young guys that he can kind of, you know, have more experience and more veteran than. I just think he's going to be somebody who's going to be in the Kings rotation.
You think Colby's ceiling is higher than Keon's?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I really like Keon. I think Keon's a really solid role player. I think Colby, there's a world where, like, and this is like pie in the sky, best case, I could see a version of like a Dante DiVincenzo, a Josh Hart, like a discount Derek White, if you will. And you know, maybe one day he can get to a Derek White level. I don't think anyone saw Derek White turning into Derek White, but he does have a lot of the similar skill set where it is just like a lot of hustle, but also there's a lot of skill and athleticism behind there as well.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's get back into some of the football talk. This is from the 916. Ask and you can receive, and you will receive from the 916. What are the NFL playoff situations and scenarios for both the Saints and the Steelers just to make it to the playoffs? We will let you know that right now. Let's start with the Saints. So you have the Saints. What's at stake? The Saints can clinch the NFC South title with New Orleans win plus a Tampa Bay loss. Oof. Or tie,
okay.
Or New Orleans tie plus a Tampa Bay loss. How can the Saints clinch a playoff berth? New Orleans win plus Seattle loss or tie plus Green Bay loss or tie. Or New Orleans tie plus Seattle loss plus Green Bay loss. Am I reading this correctly? Does it sound like it's easier to win the NFC South than to get into the playoffs?
Well, yeah, but it
because
would be,
you just need Tampa
would still
to lose
get into the playoffs if they win the South, obviously.
So you could have someone else winning the South. Tampa Bay is probably going to
win. Tampa
Bay is Carolina.
Wins, yes.
Yeah.
So basically, look at the other scenarios.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So basically, to the 9-1-6,
it is harder.
If you assume that Tampa Bay is going to beat the Panthers and David Tepper and, you know, hopefully wear goggles if you're sitting next
pouring
to
the drinks in Baker's eyes.
Yeah, the executive suite.
Put a lid on it.
New Orleans win plus a Seattle loss or tie plus a Green Bay loss or tie.
And then he said the Steelers as well.
The second one for New Orleans. New Orleans tie plus, if they tie, plus a Seattle loss plus a Green Bay loss. So you got to win, and you need the Seahawks to lose, and you need the Packers to lose as well. So not looking great for the Saints.
Yeah, and then I'm looking at the Steelers, who, by the way, just Mike Tomlin just casually cashing in another winning season with Mason Rudolph and
what he does.
Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky as his quarterbacks this year. Just ridiculous.
Three of the same guy. How do you have three of the same guy?
Insane.
I don't know.
Just insane. And how do you win 9 games when you have it? I just don't know. The Steelers playoff scenario is, I guess it's a little more clear and upfront. Steelers win plus Buffalo loss clinches them a playoff spot. Steelers win plus a Jacksonville loss or tie wins them a playoff spot.
By the way, Trevor Lawrence, questionable. They don't know if he's going to play on Sunday.
He needs, I would just look in here. He needs more zip on the ball, basically, is what Coach Peterson needs from him to throw a little harder. He's got a finger injury.
You know, these guys, man, you go first overall and you don't build around them correctly. Joe Burrow. How many years in the league? Couple years in the league. The one year he's been healthy, he goes to the Super Bowl, but he can't finish the season. He's running for his life all the time. Shout out Jake Browning, doing a pretty good job for the Bengals. And now the Jaguars.
The Bengals brought in Orlando Brown, which was huge this year. I don't know. Burrow's kind of...
You think it's on Burrow?
I don't know. I mean, he's been hurt quite a bit, right?
I agree. No,
could
agree.
Could be an early season, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
Got to finish the season.
Yeah.
I mean, this season kind of felt, I guess you can't call it unfair, but like Joe came into the season hurt, remember?
That's
like
also true. And nobody checked the Bengals for letting that happen.
Yeah, they didn't. They just let him play. I mean, yeah, they made us believe that he was going to be ready week one. And it was like, I just saw this dude take a non-contact calf injury and limp off like a week and a half ago. And what ended up happening?
He pushed himself too.
Yeah.
I remember at the beginning of the year, they're like, 1-2 is one thing, but we can't be 1-3. So they forced him to play week 4. Mm-hmm. I think they win, and then they ended up going like 2-5 and then beat the Niners.
Here you go. Here you go on the sack chat. CK916 styles that Ayuk Pro Bowl nonsense almost had me call in and go on a rant. Oof. Shout out to the CK916 and Scooter916. What do you think Fields would have looked like on the Niners? I wanted them to draft him, and then they drafted Lance.
Better
than
Lance.
Scooter.
He would have looked better.
Better. He would have been.
I'm just now moving forward from that. I'm just now moving forward from that.
You got to move on from that, Alan.
Come on. You got to get over it.
Come on,
Alan. I did move on. Okay. I did. But I don't think that the question is this, and I went back and forth in the Bay all the time. I don't know. I it would be disrespectful, I think, to Brock to say that Fields would look as good as Brock. I think that would be disrespectful. But I do think that the Niners would be successful with Fields. Yeah. As successful as they are right now,
different.
I don't
Fields
I don't
was sabotaged too in with the Bears. Like, he has not been given anything to work with, running for his life constantly.
Yeah.
They're not, it took him forever to get him DJ Moore.
Yep.
And that's like, that's what you're, it's just.
They just went a screen pass to him.
He didn't have Allen Robinson.
Okay. That's it though. I mean, no O-line, right? No defense. He's sport. Yeah. It's, they're bad.
If we're doing revisionist history though.
Yeah.
If the Niners win that game against the Bears, is anything different?
That monsoon game?
Yeah. Is anything different?
That I wasn't even thinking about that, so no.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
I don't think so either.
I mean, if Trey Lance still gets hurt.
They're still running him.
That's all that matters.
They're still running him.
Yeah.
So maybe he gets hurt later in the season, but then maybe that means Jimmy doesn't. I don't know. We'll never know.
I don't want to play this game.
I didn't, you know.
But I do want to tell you. No. Do you guys want to hear some of these incentives before we get a break?
Yes, yes.
So this is an article from CBS a few hours ago from Cody Benjamin. That first one I mentioned, Baker Mayfield, if he gets in the playoffs this year, he gets an extra $2 million.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, yeah.
I would be. Oh, my God. Go ahead. I don't. Go ahead.
A couple more QBs here. You got Geno Smith. If he gets a playoff berth, $2 million as well.
Wow.
Gardner Minshew, if he gets 65% of the offensive snaps, he gets $2 million. So I think he has a chance to get that in week 18. Then we go to your guy, Alexander Mattison, Chris. He needs 125 rushing yards.
He's not getting it.
For $650K.
Not getting it.
Odell.
I haven't seen Alexander Mattison in months.
They're going to feed this one's tough. Odell, he gets $1.75 million. If he gets 5 catches, 185 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
No.
It's too big. Too big of a day.
He needs to be.
Aren't the Ravens in the same situation? Aren't they playing for nothing?
Yeah. I haven't checked who's playing what, but I imagine, you know, I don't know. I don't know. If Odell's like, put me in there, just huck the ball up to me. Let's see what happens. I can see that. This one I think is going to happen. DeAndre Hopkins. $1.5 million if he gets 7 catches, 49 yards, and 2 TDs. That, I'm going to say, is a lot. Of it.
The 7 catches is harder than the 49 yards.
Throw him screens. They don't care.
How about the 2 touchdowns?
Well, that too.
Also, Nate, they don't want to give him the money. I don't think they're going to I don't think they're going to call the screens.
Okay.
I think that Tennessee's probably going to be like, you know.
They're the ones playing the Jags. Don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to play. So.
I'll do a couple more here.
Yeah.
Darius Slayton for the Giants, $750K. I guess he just needs to play, so that's good.
Okay, that's an easy one.
Yeah. Nelson Aguilar, another Ravens receiver, $500,000, 10 catches, he gets the $250,000. All right. 58 yards, he gets the other $250,000. So I think he's getting a $250,000.
Yeah, you really got to try out for that one. I mean,
you said 10 catches?
10 catches for a $250,000, and then another $250,000 for 58 yards. So he gets the $500,000 for both, but if he gets either one, he gets $250,000.
Oh, well, he'll get the yards.
The 58 yards,
I mean, that's not a guarantee.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, if Odell's not throwing to Zay.
He's going to be the number one.
They don't have to play. They don't have to. They're not playing for anything. And the way the Ravens' season has gone, I wouldn't send anybody out there.
No, I mean, I would. Yeah. I would wrap everybody up. I mean, for the most part. I mean, not that Nelson Aguilar's, you know.
Well, no, he can play.
Yeah.
No disrespect, but Zay Flowers and you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Likely, I see a lot of Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley.
Pro Bowler
out there.
Tyler.
I'll do Bud Dupree, a guy who bounces around. Bounces around a lot in the league.
Is he in Tennessee now?
He's with the Falcons.
Wow.
He needs a sack and a half for $1 million. And then 70% of 2023 snaps for $1 million. I don't know how many snaps that is.
Are there any Niner ones in there?
No Niner ones in there. It was that, I mean, the only, like, there's that Debo one we talked about the other day.
Right.
But that's not obtained. Like, that's over several years.
Yeah. Right.
So that
the rushing one,
not a big deal, but these are just kind of the ones that stick out. This is a great article, a bunch in here. Mike Gesicki for the Patriots, he needs 53% of the snaps this year to get $750,000. So, I don't know. Those are interesting.
There you go. Hey, I hope they all get their money.
Yeah,
because get paid.
Football is that sport where you just never know.
Never know when the next check is going
to. Exactly. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, it's our dog segment. Maybe a double dog segment since they play on Sunday as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 15 more minutes with you. Thank you for joining. If you just joined, thank you for joining. If you've been listening, thank you for rocking with us. And rock with us on KNCI HD2 this Sunday. The 49ers and Rams will be airing there with pregame at 12:25 and kickoff at 1:25. Because the Kings, I'm going to continue to say it, will be playing and beating the Pelicans on the Sacktown Sports airwaves. It is time now for our dog segment. sponsored by could be you. Give us a call, 916-339-1140, if you want to sponsor our dog segment. We can make it happen.
Yeah. We need to get the in Step Brothers when they're doing the Prestige Worldwide, and they're like, potential investors, possibly you.
Right, right, right. Let's get that. Let's get it going, and let's get the dog going. I'll start it off today.
Yeah.
I see Nate in the back doing his job, working real hard, so I'll start it out today.
End of the show, and now he's deciding to work?
Oh, buddy. Come on, after he dropped some Tapatio earlier in the show that we will not... We will not repeat. You can check it out on YouTube, but
thanks, Steven.
We will not repeat the proposed.
I forgot
trade
the Tapatio I was dropping.
That
sriracha.
That was you know, the one drop. It's hot. You put the one drop or the one chip or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
the one
what
chip
it was
challenge
with Nate. All right, I'm gonna get started here.
Six, six, six,
six views, and with reports coming out. Who is available? Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
I think that Harrison Barnes is a company man through and through. And I think Harrison Barnes is going to play well tonight. Harrison Barnes, my dog.
I would love that. Oh, my gosh. What if that actually happens? What if, like, he does have, like, a 25-point night, and then, like, 2 weeks later, he does get traded to Toronto, we're like... Wow, this fool actually just in real time convinced somebody that he's worth, I will not say what he's worth, but he's worth more than what
build
we
a statue.
Incredible.
We build the statue. Oh, yeah. He just kisses, sends a kiss out to the crowd.
Swan song.
As the trade happens and we all just stand up.
So good.
And just give a standing ovation for Harrison Barnes. He's my dog tonight.
That's great. That is fantastic. Great work. Let me think here. I mean, you know what? I think you actually planted this seed in my head earlier. I'm going to go with Keegan Murray because, I mentioned, you know, the Siakam and Sabonis kind of canceling each other out. It's going to be interesting to watch Scottie Barnes versus De'Aaron, Emmanuel Quickley against Malik Monk. That sounds like Keegan Murray could be a little bit of an X factor there. If Keegan himself has a 20-point night, hits a couple threes, How's Toronto going to be able to respond to that? I mean, I think that it's going to be big for the Kings offense to be going tonight in general. But, you know, let's see some Keegan Murray continuing to build on that development, continuing to build on that great inside the arc game from the other day. Let's see a little bit of everything out of Keegan tonight.
Nate, who's your dog tonight? You going to go random again? Or?
Yeah.
No, I went with Trey Lyles last time. That's not random.
That's not
JTA
random.
JTA
and he, you know, he 10-3. And tonight I want to take Chris Duarte. JTA with his 19 seconds.
Hey, dude. Hey.
Duarte after 10 minutes, 0 points, one assist. It's like, and then Herter really struggling at the two guard outside of Malik. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's kind of a 1.5 guard. He's both. So... I'm just going to go easy, go Sabonis, and get a little bit more specific.
Okay.
Double-double by half, and he's going to be 2 assists away from a triple-double at half.
So he had 2 triple-doubles in a row, right? At least 2.
Close. Let me see.
And yeah, wasn't that the 7th time in his career?
This will end the streak.
Let's see here.
Yeah, this will end the streak. Okay.
Yeah, so I think 8 assists by the half. I'll say 10 points, 12 rebounds.
He's got triple-doubles in two of his last 3 games.
Okay.
Yeah, he had 23, 19, and 4 against the Hornets.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right, let's go back around the room for the Pelicans. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
For the Pelicans.
Ouch.
It's just going to be all of us for making it through.
Well, look, I'm the one who believes that the Kings are going to get it done.
Right.
And it's at home.
Mm-hmm. So is the last one.
And you got to get rolling somehow. Honestly, I'm just going to go basic Betty here.
Stay.
And I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox.
I thought you were going to go Kevin Herter.
No.
I thought that's your basic Betty.
No, I'm going De'Aaron Fox. It's time.
Okay. I like it. You know what? Maybe I'm starting to, you know, be more on your side of the street this time. I mean, There's nothing, like, at least there's nothing at stake this time. You know, last time the in-season tournament continuing on that was at stake. So maybe this one will be just absolutely no pressure at all. I mean, you've already lost to this team three times. Well, I guess what's a fourth? So, you know, you can play a little bit looser. And let's say Kevin Huerter. Why
let's
not?
Let's go.
Let's have a big bench night from Kevin Huerter. Going to need some triples if you're going to be playing that Pelicans team. We've seen that length really bothers the Kings in terms of attacking the rim. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to need some perimeter help. My two dogs for the weekend are going to be Keegan and Kevin.
Let's do it.
I'm doing it. I don't feel great about it. But
here on the Sack Chat from Dwayne Baker, Keegan tonight's dog. Fox on Sunday, me and Dwayne feeling the same way. 916-KH, my big red dog. Shout out to the 916-KH, the big red dog.
Shout out Clifford.
Shout out 916.
Nice.
Text of the
day. Now I hope Kevin plays well for a long time so we can call him the big red dog.
That's actually great, 916. You think of that yourself? Take a victory lap on that one, Nate.
Before we get out of here. I mean, people definitely aren't calling him that, so that's for sure.
Yo, the big red dog, if he goes crazy tonight and you get that one, I'm going to say that should have been me. Nate, who you got?
I'm going to will this into existence. JaVale McGee's got to have one good game. He's
got to have one good game.
Does he have to?
Yeah.
Has to?
Revenge game, right? He played on the Pelicans.
No, I don't think he did.
He's just played on half the league.
That's not.
Mixing him and AD up. Yeah. That's it. I think that is a lot of people do that.
Both NBA champs.
All right. Well, thank you, Nate. And
do we have to thank Nate?
Yeah. Thank you, Nate, for all that.
JaVale McGee.
All right. Thank you, Nate, for all that you do. Thank you to Sean Woodley for coming through from the Locked On Raptors. Excited for the game tonight. Chris Watkins, Alan Stiles, hang around, of course, for the Drive guys with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Have a great weekend. And until Monday, secure the bag. Please, Kings, light the beam.